This is the Todd Wright Toddcast. It is presented by Brandon Legal Group, huge supporters of Todd Wright Tour golf tournaments for 3 years running. Brandon Legal Group is a full-service law firm. You need not ask what type of law they specialize in when you are in need of specific legal assistance. You also do not need to live, nor work, nor have your legal issue originate within the city limits of Brandon, Florida. They service the greater Tampa Bay area. Call anytime for a free consult, 844-4BLG4ME, 844-4BLG4ME, or visit BrandonLegalGroup.com. And if you follow my social media accounts and you see me wearing often the Todd Wright Tour hats that were part of the gift package at the Todd Wright Tour Championship in 2019 at Black Diamond, the back of those hats features an embroidered Brandon Legal Group logo. They were responsible for those hats. They often are responsible for many of the gifts that I give away at Todd Wright Tour golf tournaments. The Todd Wright Toddcast is also presented by Pin Chasers. I am hoping in an upcoming phase of reopening of the state of Florida, that means Anthony Peroni and the Pin Chasers family can welcome all of us back into his three locations in the Tampa Bay area, 6816 Gale Boulevard in Zephyr Hills, 4847 North Armenia in Midtown Tampa, 5555 West Hillsborough Avenue, just north of Tampa International Airport. Pin Chasers is fun. I'm sure specials will return, and hopefully once they reopen, many of the reasons why we would go to Pin Chasers for a last-minute outing, a planned birthday party, and otherwise will be available again at Pin Chasers, because Anthony Peroni does so much for the community, and he does a lot for me as well. He is not paying for these mentions and hasn't since his facility closed. I just told him I would continue to have a place for him on the Todd Wright Toddcast. That's me supporting the businesses that always support me. Thank you, Anthony Peroni. Hope to come see you soon. And my social media, by the way, is ToddWright2020 on Instagram, ToddWright2020 on Twitter, or just friend me on Facebook. I'm simply Todd Wright in Tampa, Florida. If you have an email, thank you, Greg, about the Toddcast, any suggestions on future material and otherwise, email write.todd@yahoo.com. If you have a golf question as it relates to future Todd Wright Tour golf tournaments, and the Todd Wright Tour continues. As a matter of fact, the Todd Wright Tour is adding events as other major sports struggle to restart. We're adding more. I have an exciting announcement coming up probably in the next 7 to 10 days. You can email toddwrightgolf@gmail.com to be informed about future golf tournaments and how you can become a part of the Todd Wright Tour. This is, I'm recording this Friday morning. What are we, May 15th now? Yeah, May 15th. Friday morning, another gorgeous day. If you follow any of my social media accounts, you know, I pretty much play golf all day. I either play 18 holes or I practice. Some days both. I did a lot of that early, and then my body really told me to slow it down. I couldn't get out of bed one morning. I was supposed to play with some friends at a very good golf course, and I just can't play all the golf that I want at my age, so I have to take it easy. It's either play or practice, not both. I was just out at Chichi Rodriguez Golf Club, a regular stop on the Todd Wright Tour. They've hosted Good vs. Evil Chapter 3 and Good vs. Evil Chapter 4. I was out there the other day. You can see all the photos on my social media accounts. Again, ToddWright2020 on Instagram, on Twitter, and on my Facebook page. Thanks to James and Al for having my group out there on Wednesday afternoon. I'm in good spirits. I'm doing a lot better than I thought I would do because we are going on weekend number 10 without sports. Now, technically, NASCAR returns this weekend. I used to be a big NASCAR fan. And then I had a horrible experience at Daytona International Raceway. And they never made good on it. And I've not been back to a race since. It was just bad on their part, what they did. And it was even worse how they handled it when I brought it up to them. I basically said, here's what you sold me. Here's what I ended up getting. Now you make up for it. And they never did. And then the ironic part was, a few years later, you probably have dealt with this if you've ever had season tickets, which I did for Daytona International Speedway. Sometimes you get an overhaul in the ticket department, and they find out people haven't come for a while. So these new people reach out to you via email or phone, and they basically say, we've missed you. How can we get you back? And that's what happened roughly a year or so ago. And I told this new representative that I had told her previous people, here's what I paid for. Here's what I got. No one ever made up the difference. I'm still waiting, and I haven't attended a race at Daytona or at any track since. She's like, oh, so I'm sorry to hear that. We'll get right on that. And a few weeks went by, and then all she said to me was, well, it was 4 years ago, and, you know, we've kind of moved on. Hey, you freaking called me and asked why I haven't been back. So it made it even worse. I'll DVR the race this weekend. To me, NASCAR isn't the same. And for many NASCAR fans, it's not the same without names like Earnhardt, Gordon, Stewart, Edwards. The new names coming into the sport don't replace the names that left the sport. There are still some I know and I like, and some I like to hate. It's not enough to keep me watching regularly. But I'll DVR it this weekend. So let's take some inventory. And first of all, take some personal inventory. Because when this all started, when they were canceling the NCAA tournament as really the first big domino to fall, and then everything else fell in line sort of with that before or after. I'm not getting into the who did what first. I didn't know how I'd handle it. I'm here to tell you, I'm good. Now, my perspective of sports changed and has changed throughout my life. It's always been a factor in my life. I ended up making a really nice living off my interest in it. And I play golf every day. So I still have an active lifestyle that involves a sport. But mentally, I'm a lot better than I thought. When I retired from full-time radio talk show hosting, and it was overdue. It was overdue by a number of years, but I wasn't going to turn down people paying me to talk about sports. I just wasn't. It reminded me of, there was a friend of mine who was a special teams guy. I think he was a punter or a kicker or a little of both. And I remember asking him at one point going into another arena football league season, I said, "You're going to do another year?" And he just smiled and said, "As long as someone is stupid enough to pay me to kick a football, I'm going to take their money." I always thought that was very accurate, and I've sort of applied that to talking about sports. I'll gladly talk about sports for free to my friends, but if you're going to pay me to talk about it to anyone who wants to listen, sure, I took the money. But I didn't want to deal with a lot of the bullshit that comes with national network sports talk radio, and certainly a dip to a different degree at a different level, local bullshit that comes with working in local talk radio. The podcast world is wonderful. I do what I want, when I want, how I want. So thanks for listening. So here we are, 10 weekends without sports. Now, before you UFC fans yell at me, and you know I don't like UFC, I actually have gained respect for Dana White during these last 10 weeks. It doesn't make me want to watch, but I have gained respect for him. Because he has found a way to do an event, and he probably would have done it weeks earlier had his television partner, and it was some higher up at Disney, not gotten him on the phone or on Zoom and said, "Dana, we don't want you to do this. Not now." I know he could have done it. I guess Disney just told him, "If you do this, we're not going to air it. And if you choose to find another way to broadcast it, you're in violation of our agreement. Do you want to see all this money go away?" So Dana did the right thing. I just loved how he kept saying, "I can still do it." But he didn't. And then he found the availability in Jacksonville. And you know what? What he pulled off was a good start, because he didn't do anything wrong. He even had a fighter test positive. I don't know these names. The event went on. Now, he's used to that. He's had fighters for various reasons back out or be pushed out of other big events he's done, because he's done about 250 of these, right? And he finds a way most of the time to go on. So what he did was important, and I have respect for him more so than I did 10 weeks ago. But it isn't anything I watch. Not then, not now, and I don't think for the foreseeable future. So when I say we're 10 weekends without sports, and I'm now bringing NASCAR in, I acknowledge NASCAR is a sport, but I don't think it changes the mainstream perception of sports has been gone. You can look at it however you want. So NASCAR is going to run this weekend, and they've announced even more events, primarily in the Southeast. And I'm sure they'll pull it off. Probably more than any other sporting event that I care about at any level. No fans in the stands changes nothing about the event. And who wins, who loses, and watching it on television. They won't need to pump crowd noise in. They won't need to fake fans via computers. They don't. They don't need to do any of that. Run the cars, cover the race on TV, interview the drivers, maybe the crew chiefs, and the owner after he wins. That's it. So I don't think they're impacted that much with the sight test and how it will look on television. And you won't, I don't think you'll hear from drivers saying, "Yeah, it was weird out there." They drive tracks with nobody in the stands all the time. It's called qualifying. The qualifying now is going to be a random draw. Okay. Necessary evil. The good drivers will find their way to the front. And if the bad driver draws the pole position, he's probably not going to win. That's just the way it works. So where are we with the other sports? The PGA Tour, actually, other than however you view Dana White, they started back-ending things, and they made an announcement about the rest of their year pretty early on. But they waited to do any events until mid-June. I'm wondering now if the PGA Tour regrets that they waited too long. Because you have all these grudge matches, one of which is this weekend with what? Fowler, Wolf, DJ, and Rory? And then on Memorial Day weekend, you're going to have Tiger with Peyton and Phil with Brady. Do I have that right? And I think there's even another event similar to this. It's almost as if the players said, well, we're ready to go here. Let's fill the gap. Or maybe it's a good dry run before we start full-fledged PGA Tour events in mid-June. You can play golf without fans. Score the event, have a winner. You know how I know? Because I run my own damn events. I don't claim to be anything close to the PGA Tour. But I have run 23 golf tournaments since October of 2015. And I've played in probably four times that in the last, 6 to 8 years. Let's just say 8 to 10 years. I've only ever played in one event where there were fans watching me. It was the last Pro-Am of what was known for years as the Outback Pro-Am at TPC Tampa Bay. I actually was in the Pro-Am with the eventual winner, a true gentleman and a great player named Michael Allen, and I was a guest of the Leroy Selman's restaurant brand and played with Greg Lynn and Andrew Fitzpatrick. That's the only time I've played with fans in a tournament. So you can do that. It's going to feel different to the pros, and I get Rory's argument, don't have a Ryder Cup without fans. I'm not a fan of the Ryder Cup anyway, but I agree with Rory's argument. If the Masters needs to be played without fans, they'll do it. Here's how they can make up the difference on the money. Just put your merchandise online, increase the price a little bit. It flies off the shelves because no one's ever been able to buy it directly from Augusta National Golf Club online during the tournament. You make up the revenue. But that's way back in November before Thanksgiving. But golf's coming back. To some of you, still, that's not sports to you. UFC isn't sports to you. NASCAR's not sports to you. The PGA Tour is not sports to you. You want team sports. Okay. On the lowest level, and I don't watch MLS, but I hear these ideas about what they are going to do, and I think at some point they're going to pull this off. Good for them. For many of us, that still isn't enough. So let's get to the big four. All right. With all due respect to tennis, where I've heard very little, other than someone complaining about something. Was it Djokovic said? Big surprise. People complain about Djokovic all the time. Djokovic could win 30 majors, and there's people who will say, no. He's not the one who really won the most. It was this guy. All right, so the big four. Hockey has had a plan for some time. The players are just pushing back on it. I think the hockey owners will eventually say to the players, take it or leave it. This is it. We're going to do a centralized location for all four divisions. We're going to do a training camp for 2 to 3 weeks there. We're going to finish the regular season, maybe not every game you were supposed to play, and you're only going to play games within your division, obviously, so nobody travels. but we'll try kind of even up how many games everybody plays, give everyone a shot. They'll probably drop that swinging wild card. Top four from each division advance, same arena, 1 versus 4, 2 versus 3. Maybe a best of five, unless NBC bitches too much that they'd lose games they paid for. Then best of 7, second round. And then maybe they'd be able to go home and home arenas in the actual arenas where the conference finalists play and for the Stanley Cup finals with or without fans. I think the NHL is going to pull it off. NBA. People like to throw a lot of dirt on the NBA and have for years. I sense a lot of positive momentum listening to Brian Windhorst the other day, who is so good at what he does. I think the league is polling its players on what they want to do. But in the end, I don't think the players will tell Adam Silver what he's going to do. I think he wants the feedback. And I think there's a lot of reason to believe, especially with Governor Ron DeSantis of Florida, inviting basically pro sports to the state, that Disney could host some or all of the NBA finishing the regular season and playing a portion or all of the playoffs, a majority of those games that air on ESPN or ABC. And I'm sure Turner will just go along for the ride and say, okay, tell us where to be and we'll be there to do our games. I do think that'll get done. College football is going to be fun. I say fun because what is one of the things that so many of us always love about college football? The chaos factor. Oh, we're really going to get it now. Because you're going to introduce what element of the student part of the student athlete is involved here. And are they on campus? Are they not on campus? I just read the SEC has as many as nearly 20 different plans to play college football this fall. And as someone who knows very well told me, the SEC is not going to let Gavin Newsom tell them they can't play college football this fall. They don't give a shit who Gavin Newsom is. And the SEC might simply take the attitude of, we don't care what other conferences do. We'll handle our own business. We'll play an entire conference schedule. We'll go to Atlanta, crown our champion just as we always did. And if there's nowhere for our conference champion to go after that, they are the SEC champion, and in our opinion, they are national champions. And you know what? That would carry a hell of a lot more weight than with me than the UCF fans just saying, oh, we were national champions. The SEC is going to find a way to play. Whether other conferences do in full or in part, I don't think matters to them, not one bit. The NFL has pushed forward with everything. Maybe that's why I'm okay after 10 weeks. I've had free agency. I've had a draft. I've had all these teams rolling out questionable new uniforms. I've had a schedule. I think the NFL's got it figured out or has enough ideas to go forward. And that makes me happy. And then there's baseball. And I don't need to say much here. Every day that goes by is another lost opportunity for what was once called America's pastime. You know, the sport that even as recently as 2001 brought us out of the doldrums of 9/11 playing home games in New York. Every day that goes by, missed opportunity. Every stupid thing that comes out of anyone's mouth in baseball, and not just baked Snell and what he mouthed off about the other day. I have felt strongly all along baseball would be the one to fall on its face in all this. To date, it's going exactly as I thought. And you know what? Serves them right. I've told you in previous podcasts, I stopped watching baseball years ago. I haven't missed it. And if they end up bitching and moaning about things that piss people off and don't play at all this year, I hope it sets that game back so far that more of you end up taking the same attitude that I've taken. That you just kind of wake up one day down the road and say, oh yeah, they didn't play baseball last year, huh? I didn't care. The Todd Wright Toddcast is presented by Brandon Legal Group, your full-service law firm. Call anytime for a free consult, 844-4BLG4ME, 844-4BLG4ME. And you can also visit BrandonLegalGroup.com. Thanks for listening to this edition of the Todd Wright Toddcast. We'll talk to you soon.